Our scripture reading for this Sabbath is Jeremiah 17:14. And I'll be reading out of the King James Version. And I would like to say that for me, it's a very personal privilege to be reading this personal scripture. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Amen. Yes, amen.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. I have a very special song for you today. I actually had first heard it in Gladstone camp meeting, and it was a girl who wrote it, and it's called Wool Over Your Eyes. And it kind of has to do what the devil can't destroy, he distracts. And I don't know how many of you would believe that we live in a very distracting world right now. Our phones, our computers, it's very hard sometimes to remember the bigger picture. And this song is a little lyrically dense, so you're going to be reading a lot today, just letting you know. But the first part of the song is Satan talking to us. The middle part is us talking, and the last part is God. So I hope this speaks to you today.
I like that you got the wool over your eyes, 'cause it suits me fine to know that you don't even realize. I like the way that you don't question anything, and I love the way that you go along with everything. I've got you under my control, and you don't even know, and you don't even know. And I've got you under my control, and you don't even know, and you don't even know. Just don't think about it, live life to the full. It doesn't really matter what's really real. Keep that veil real close, oh, don't peek through. It doesn't really matter what's really true, and it suits me just fine. It suits me just fine. 'Cause you're trapped in your habits and you don't realize what you've lost till you're gone. And you're chained to your iPhone, and you're stuck with your earphones, and all the world is falling apart, and you wouldn't know this. And the movies have captivated your soul, and you'll never grow older without looking more and more to fulfill you and satisfy that hole inside you. Got me under your control, and I don't even know, and I don't even know. You've got me under your control, and I don't even care, no, I don't even care. And I like how I've been listening to that song you're singing, but I don't really wanna change my ways, and I have no idea what I'm really missing, but I don't really care. No, I don't really care, 'cause I'm happy living here with my simple little pleasures, waiting for the world to produce more entertaining things. Keeping mind occupied, when's the next storyline? Oh, I can't wait to see what they'll think of next. And oh, give me more of the Games of Thrones, 'cause I like keeping up with the Joneses. Don't really mind who was Moses. And when's the next YouTube session? I've got a Netflix obsession. I'll be fine, just take up all my time. it suits me just fine. It suits me just fine. My, oh my, what a lost little child. You're entangled in lies. I have the best intentions for you, and I don't want anyone else to be Lord of your life, Lord of your life. I want everything good for you. I tried to show you, but people mar my name. People make you afraid of me. That's not what I'm like. Go search for me and know me for yourself. For yourself. I'm a good, good father. You're singing it in songs, and not really, truly where you belong. And if you search for me through the clutter of this world, you dust me off and find me at the bottom of your shelf. Search for me, my arms are open wide. Search for me, my arms are open wide. Someone has pulled the wool over your eyes. Oh, please don't be deceived by pretty little things. Please search deep for me. I gave my life to know you.
Tiana, if Adele was here, she'd be jealous. I'm not kidding. Thank you so much. That goes right along with this message. Thank you for reading the scripture. Where's Jamie? There she is. Thank you. Everyone that participated on the platform. Praise the Lord. Do you want a heavy-duty message today or a lightweight message? Because I can roll it either direction. You want a medium? You want heavy-duty? This is going to be heavy-duty. Industrial strength. You have to have a little background on me to understand why I'm so the way I am. I guess that's the best way to describe it. My dad loved to do dangerous things out in the ocean, like diving with sharks and killer whales and... So I got to love that, and I got to do some of it myself. I was a young man, probably started around 15, into my 20s. And he taught me a lot about doing dangerous things and surviving it. And we did stupid things, and we survived it. But I don't recommend the stupid things, because the stupid things can bite you and you might not recover from them. I went on with my love of danger, I guess it's the only way I can describe it, to work in the oil refineries as a welder. And if you listen to the news and you hear that there's a fire in an oil refinery, it's typically because the welder in charge has launched himself into the flames by torching something he shouldn't have. In fact, one story came back to me while I was at the pulpit, on the platform. Everyone was there. There was a piece of pipe about 50 feet long laying on the ground. It was 10-inch pipe, and it had a boilermaker on the end of it, and that's a flange about an inch and a half thick, solid steel, and it caps the pipe. Well, the pipe was demolitioned, and it had to be cut up in pieces and hauled off, and everybody was there. My supervisor, the green hats were there, they were the engineers. Fire marshals were there, they had their fire hats. Safety officers are there, and all the paperwork was done. And they were all looking at me, because I was the welder that was called out to chop up this piece of pipe, and they said, "You can commence cutting." And I said, "I don't think so." And all of them looked at me, including my supervisor, who at this time was really ticked. Well, I had learned a lesson earlier on working on tanks. When I was first starting the oil refineries, and I said, all our permits are good, we can go ahead and cut, and I jumped in the tank with my torch, and my buddy Vince pulled me back out by my torch lead, and he said, what are you doing? I said, we got permits to go, all we got to do is start cutting. And he said, oh, really? He says, go get an electric drill, and we're going to drill a hole, and then we're going to bring the fire marshals back to sniff with their tool what the hydrocarbon level is, and if this is safe to cut. And I said, why? They've all been here, and we got the paperwork. And he said, are you an idiot? He said, they are people just like you and me. You want to go in and start cutting on a tank in a confined space, that's your business, I'll wait outside. And I said, okay, get your drill. And they sniffed it, and it was hotter than a bomb. I would have cut in that tank, and we'd have had some kind of an explosion. I don't know what kind, but it would have been big. So back to the pipe that's 50 feet long with the Boilermaker on it, and all my bosses saying, cut away. And I say, uh-uh, take the Boilermaker off the end of the pipe. Sorry, it's open on the other end. It's cleaned out, ready to go. It's been steamed. It's ready to go. I said, how long has it been sitting here? 6 months. I said, take the Boilermaker off. And by then, they were getting mad, to the point where they're telling me to do something, and the lowly welder is saying, I don't think so. The looks of insubordination and you're going to get it when you get back to the office got more intense for about 15 minutes, and they didn't have a torch. I did. They weren't going to cut it. I was. I said, not happening until you remove that Boilermaker. So they did. 15 gallons of gasoline still in the pipe. Everybody left. Remember Jesus when he was writing in the sand? Remember? How many people were around when he got through writing in the sand? Nobody. When that Boilermaker came off and they saw the gasoline pouring out of that pipe, they all just kind of went. And I'm like, where are those mine supervisors? They're gone, all of them. Needless to say, we followed proper procedure after that. I've had to learn how to read the directions and go about things that are safely done. I've been forced to. Even though I might rush in where fools say don't do it, I'm the guy that now has to. Now, I have to say at this point in my life, I still weld on fuel tanks out at the mill, but I know how to do it. I'm comfortable around things that explode. You gotta know how to treat it, right? That's how I read the Bible. As if my life depended on it. So if I seem too intense, or I seem overboard, or I'm saying too many scriptures, sorry, that's how my brain works. So there's a little perception into why I am the way I am. Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. There's a plea. And there's present tense. Heal me, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Present tense. For thou art my praise. I could go through the rest of my life with just that one verse. Heal me, Lord. Save me. You are my praise. And I'll praise God forever and ever. Amen. So do you want to think about and gain a little bit more of the mechanics of how that works? If you want to, my dad once said, you're a great mechanic, you need more spirit. And I said, okay, well, whatever. Thanks, Dad. Dad didn't pull any punches. What does it mean to be saved? Every day we hear it. You need to be saved, or I was saved. And all too often, we don't even consider what that even means. Being saved almost sounds out of date. It's almost like it's cliche. It's repeated way too much. What does it mean? I sure hope Wilfrey didn't have anything. All right. I've said it in the past. Adventism has been saying it for 30 years, if they've been saying it one. I've modified and added to my definition of sin. You've heard it. That little word, S-I-N, you've heard it 100 times. Separation from God. That's what sin is. And I completely agree to that. I completely agree that is definitely the end result of sin. There's no doubt about it. But what does the word sin actually mean in the scriptures? If you look it up in the Greek, well, it just means the offense. Missing the mark is a good one, but it doesn't describe the offense. Missing the mark is personal. Oh, I've missed the mark. I blew it. I'm no good. I'm a dirty, rotten, no good sinner that needs to be chipped out the front doors and beat up on my way out. No, wait a minute. It's the offense. What was the offense in heaven? The offense in heaven, if you'll remember a couple sermons back, was Lucifer looking right at God and saying, I don't believe who you are. That was the offense. And it's going on to this day. So Jeremiah says, deliver me. This is what the word save means. And interestingly enough, the word saved goes, the definition goes Old and New Testament. It's almost identical. So you can use it for either Old or New Testament. The word saved, or the word in Greek is sozo, it means to deliver, to protect, to heal, to preserve, and last but not least, to be made whole. When I say, Lord, save me, I'm asking him to do all of those things. Deliver me, protect me, heal me, preserve me, make me whole again. I'm tired of being influenced and beat up by the offense, Lord. Save me from sin. John 16, verse 9, and this is where it gets heavy duty. You can listen and read whatever you want. I don't care. That's your business. I mean, you can spend all the time you want doing whatever you want. That's fine. I don't care. That's up to you and God. You with me? But as for me, I don't need anything else on this hard drive anymore but this right here. Amen. I do not have time to sift through the garbage of this world. I want to hear it from the Bible, and I want to hear it straight. I want to hear what it has to say, and I want to follow it by God's grace. Which, by the way, I'm coming up with a new definition for the word grace. By grace are ye saved. You want to know what grace is? Remember you had a parent that was more loving and kind when you made a mistake? They were patient. Maybe it was a grandmother. Maybe it was a good friend of yours. You made a mistake, and they just looked at you. You want to know what grace is? Yeah, it's unmerited favor. I heard that definition. I understand that. You want to know what grace is? By grace are you saved. God just looks at you and he goes, really? Really? Can we work this out? That's how I'm being saved. I don't know about you, but when I make a mistake and I completely lose it, God says, really? I mean, is this it, or are you coming back? And I say, I'm not leaving. And he goes, well, let's work on that. That's grace, friends. John 16, verse 9. Give me the Bible and give it to me straight. Here it is, John 16, verse 9. It's on your screen. Is that the King James? John 16, verse 9. This is in the greatest chapter where Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And if you read before and after this particular verse, John 16, verse 9, you're going to find what the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. But one of the things, after Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, Jesus goes on to explain it. And yes, sin is the offense. And God is the only one that can solve it. And in verse 9, Jesus says, of sin, because of the offense, because they believe not on me. That is the offense. That is what sin is, not believing in who Jesus is. I want to be saved. You want to be saved? Yes. I want to be separated from the offense. Do you? I want to stand with God in the last day and praise his name for preserving me and making me whole. Do you? That's what I want. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Present tense. Save me, and I shall be saved. Present tense. For you are my praise. Present tense. Right now. Today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, if you want to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. I could spend the rest of my 5 minutes. Dwight said, sorry the pre-service went so long, and I told him, you're going to pay for that. I could spend the rest of my time right here in 1 Thessalonians 5 because it's so powerful. Remember how I said grace is the empowering power of God? Don't look at that verse for a minute. In fact, take it off the screen just for a minute. We got to say something before we read it. Okay, good. Remember how I said what grace is, who God is? We make mistakes and God is just right there and he's there. He is with me always, even to the end of the age. Jesus said it, I believe it, he's here, right? Every one of Paul's books, and you go home tonight and read through to the end of each book that Paul wrote, he will say something like this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Why is he saying that? I finally get it. Because Paul needed a retrofit. Paul needed a new brain. He needed a new way to think. And the grace of God gave it to him. God waited Paul out to the point where Paul's like, I get it. I finally get it. I didn't get it at the beginning, but I get it now. Thank you, God. And Paul ends up every one of his books, may the grace of God be with you. You're going to need it. Because I did. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. Fantastic verse. If you read verses 1 through 8, you're going to find it's all about not living in the night, not being a sinner, not doing things that are wrong. But then Paul comes to verse 9. For God has not appointed us to, what's the word? Wrath, but has appointed us to what? Salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's present tense. God has appointed us to salvation, right now, right here, this moment. Now, I implore you, go home and read the rest of 1 Thessalonians, because it gets better and better. Pray without ceasing, rejoice evermore, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what the will of God is? Here it is. That you have salvation because you were appointed to salvation. God created you to save you, right? That's kind of like glossing over a lot of stuff. But he originally created us for fellowship with him, and we gave it up. We bought into the offense, and that separated us from God. So now we're appointed to salvation. If you want it, God's going to give you salvation. It's that clear. People in the world, hearers in the world, people that are listening, when we saved in the world, people that are thinking, people that are hearing, maybe people in the church, when we say, are you saved, are thinking several things in their mind. Saved from what? You're kidding, right? I'm doing okay here. I'm doing just fine. What is it that I need to be saved from? Can you tell me? What is it that I need to be saved from? I'm doing all right. I'm doing just fine. I don't need to be saved. Well, perhaps saved from God. Because right now, as we speak, God's justified war on sin is going on. And he's winning, by the way. Now you say, I don't get it. Well, you're looking at too short a span of time. Look at all of history. When it comes to God and his war on sin, he is winning. Jesus was the biggest victory, period. He's winning. Sin, or the offense, is going to be destroyed. And that's by choice. All the sinners are going to say, we're done with it. All the righteous are going to say, how long, O Lord? Well, and then finally they say, praise the Lord, this is it. We're finally done with this. The offense is going to be destroyed, and it's by choice. Everybody's going to agree it's time to end it. And at the final judgment, all those that love sin and the offense will be destroyed. Because they have chosen the offense. They don't love God. And willingly, by choice, they will say, we're done. And God will give them what they chose. Not accepting the final judgment, being saved, and this is where we shift gears, being saved gets way more personal. And I was yammering on in Sabbath school. If you're in class today, in Dwight's class, I was yammering on today. I try to bring everything into the present tense. I don't know if anybody understood what I was talking about, but I was pretty excited about it. Brandy, I think Brandy was picking up on it. And it's only because I can't express myself. Being saved gets way more personal now. Today. This minute, not later. Being saved is all about this moment. I am convinced, me personally, I am convinced that the works of the flesh, if sought after and followed, will kill the spirit. I'm convinced of it. I am absolutely convinced of it. To live after the flesh and do the things that God says I should steer clear of will kill the spirit. It'll kill salvation. It'll kill everything God's trying to do. I'm convinced of it. Now, I still have to live that by God's power and by his grace. I still have to live a life of salvation as God gives it to me. But I'm convinced if I go backwards, it's going to kill everything I've tried to build with God. I'm convinced of it. So we have to look at Galatians 5, because in Galatians 5, you have the good and the bad. Galatians 5, you have the works of the flesh, and then you have the works of the spirit. So we got to go to Galatians 5. It's the word. The word is absolutely clear. The word doesn't lie. The word gives us the straight truth. So Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now, the works of the flesh are made clear. That's what the word manifest means. The works of the flesh are made clear. And let's go to 10 after. Are you okay with that? Yes. Okay, I think I can do this in 10 more minutes. The works of the flesh are made absolutely clear. They're wide open. They're in the light of day. It's all been made clear. And here are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication. Believe me, when you get through with this list, it covers everything. If you don't think it does, go get your concordance out and look up all these words in the Greek. I'm telling you, it covers everything. And if it doesn't cover everything, then Paul says it like this at the end. He says, and such things that are like these. So he wraps it up with that. But here they are. You've read it maybe. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Those are different, by the way. Wrath and strife are different. Sedition is different than wrath and strife. Heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and the such like. And there's the big wrap it up. And the such like. Of the which, I tell you, boy, it's hard for me not to point my finger and jump up and down. Wow, because, you know, the old, maybe the Bill Clinton will work when he did that. You just want to pound it. Which of things I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, and this is Paul, I can just see him now wringing his hands. I've told you this before, I've told you again. He's telling the Galatians this, and the Galatians are sitting there going, that anybody, they, which do such things, and Paul says, let me be clear, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ooh. Shall not. Okay, that's good. So I repeat with the Apostle Paul. To disregard the need to be saved from the works of the flesh, after the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has so clearly explained the reason, is to either consciously or unconsciously dread the soon return of Jesus. That makes sense? To disregard what the Spirit has to say about the works of the flesh is either to consciously or unconsciously dread the soon return of Jesus. This is a life that is described in Hebrews chapter 26, excuse me, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 7. All right, so let's read that and we'll speed it up. And I'm going to supply a little bit of language, but I think you'll know what I'm going to say. For if we continue the offense willingly, after that we have received a knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins, but what remains is a certain fearful looking for judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour everyone that opposes who? God. How do I know that rejectors of God do sin and are separating themselves willingly from God? Well, number one, we just read it. Right? Lynn has picked that up immediately, right on. Number two, Romans 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3 says this, for I say, through the grace that was given unto me. Now notice there's Paul again using that word grace. Isn't this interesting? For I say, through the grace that was given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man. And sorry, everybody, the Greek word here is hekostos, which means every man, everyone, every woman. That God has dealt to every individual, what has he given everyone? Oh, well, where does Paul get that? How is it that everybody on the planet has a measure of faith? Well, we got to trust in the Bible now. We have to read it. We have to try to figure that out and try to understand where that came from. The only way that this measure of faith can be delivered to everyone, and I'm shortening down this Bible study for the sake of time, but you shorten this Bible study down, you're going to find it in Zechariah chapter 4. You're going to find it in Isaiah chapter 5. And then you're going to see it summarized in Hebrews chapter 8. 10 through 11, and it sounds like this. How is it that everybody has the measure of faith? How is it that everybody got this? All right, let's read this. Hebrews 8, verses 10 through 11. This is how it happens. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. That's God's chosen people. After those days. So there's a covenant coming after those days. And this is after those days as in Jesus dying on the cross. Is anybody going to buy that one? After those days is after Jesus dies on the cross. I'm just going to throw that out there. You can come back and tell me you're wrong next week. But right now I'm going to throw it out as that. After those days is Jesus drawing my laws into their mind and I will write them on their hearts. That's the Jewish people specifically. But guess what? It gets enlarged. And I will be to them a God and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor. What? Wait a minute. You lost me there. The Jews aren't going to teach every man his neighbor. No, he's not. Why? And every man, his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? For everyone shall know me. How many? From the least to how many? The greatest. I want to suggest this to you. If the offense hasn't occurred to you as to what it is, if sin hasn't occurred to you as what it is, this scripture says that God's told you what it is. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And make no mistake about it. I don't care who you are, who you're married to, who your friends are, who your family is, who's across the ocean, you name it, they've all been told by the Holy Spirit of God. So you ask, well, why are we still here? Well, because we got to continue this on, right? People have to grow and learn. That's what church is all about. That's why we're here. All right, so we started out early on with John chapter 16, and now we're going to read John chapter 16 in context, verses 8 through 11, because it's important. Now that we know every man's been given a measure of faith, now that we know everybody knows who Jesus is, we have to look at John 16, 8 through 11, and then it makes more sense. And when the Holy Spirit has come, and I'm going to beg everybody in the room here, don't try telling somebody what sin is. Don't try to tell anybody what sin is. Just love people like God loves you. Because I'm going to read you why. You ready? And when the Holy Spirit is come, he will reprove the world. That includes everybody. Of three things, what the offense is, sin, and of righteousness, and of what? The judgment to come. So, as I said earlier, if you're going to ignore God when he tells you what the offense is, then you're going to be thinking about the judgment. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to be helping you think about the judgment. Right? And me. Of sin because they believe not on me. And there we go again. There's that definition. What is sin? What is the offense? It's not believing on Jesus. Jesus cannot say it any clearer than this. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you can't see me anymore. You can't see me doing righteousness. I'm in heaven now. You can't see me doing righteousness, so I have to send the Holy Spirit, and he will tell you what righteousness is. Of judgment, and here's the good news. You say, oh, life's so hard. I can't do it. I can't make it. I can't. Wait a minute. What did Jesus say? Jesus said of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And in other words, if you come to Jesus, Satan against you is powerless. That's good news. All right, let's wrap it up. Save me from what? Number one, eternal separation from God. That's salvation right there. That's protecting me. God's saving me from eternal separation from him. Number two, and I think as importantly, is God wants to save me from myself right now. That's now. That's this moment. God wants to save me from doing all the things we read in Galatians 5 a couple minutes ago. All those things. All those practicings of sin. God wants to save me from that which destroys my quality of life right now. Because he loves me. And he cares about me. By choosing Jesus and his plan, I can trade the works of the flesh for the fruits of the Spirit. I can trade all those negatives for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And I want you to put this on the screen, Galatians 5:23, because when Christ is living in your life and Christ is performing his will in your life, the end of the fruits of the Spirit is this: against such there is what? No law. You are completely justified, present tense, in Christ. All right. I guess we'll put this last scripture up because this wraps it up. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God. What does he give us? How? Can somebody say praise the Lord? Jesus will give you, Jesus will give me this second, this moment, the victory. If you want it, he will give you the victory. And then you just carry on the victory the rest of your life, every day, every moment. And I'll see you in heaven, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It's the only unshakable thing left. We trust in you. We'll give you all the glory. For you are worthy, yours is the kingdom and the power forever. In Jesus' name, amen.